This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio. This 26th day of August, broadcasting today on Studio A. Sophia Smallstorm will be joining, and I expect Keith Rogers to be here too before long. Meanwhile, I want to report on a number of the latest news developments before I bring in our special guest today. We have a situation now where RFK Jr. has dropped out of the race. He's made a number of explanations of what's going on with, let me see if I can pull up a bit of his video. Well, very significant stuff, endorsing Donald Trump. We got a situation where he spoke with Dr. Phil, explaining that he withdrew from swing states after internal polls showed 57% of his base would vote for Trump over Harris if he were to withdraw from the race. I think that's very boost for him. Here's Dr. Phil. You're double digits in some of these swing states, RFK Jr. I am. And if 57% of the people go to former President Trump, that's a real boost to him, Dr. Phil. That's a real boost to him. RFK Jr., it is. I think my decision about what to do makes it much more likely President Trump will be elected. So you do acknowledge that, Dr. Phil? Yes. RFK Jr., yes. And you agree with them on enough priorities, you're more comfortable with that outcome than if it went the other way, even though you've grown up a Democrat. Even though I grew up in the Democrat Party, I've had some orientation toward abhorrence for, I'd say, President Trump has made Democrats have many 4 years ago, mainly because of his environmental stances, which I continue to disagree with, but our conversations, my conversation with President Trump, were very amiable. He started talking about a unity party, about President Lincoln and his team of rivals. I could come in and support him because of these existential issues, censorship and chronic disease that I feel strongly about and he feels strongly about, and that Kamala is on the wrong side. I thought I could continue to criticize on issues where I don't agree with him, and he was very comfortable with that. I like that, too. I'm not going to co-sign a lot of things he says and endorse his actions, but on those issues and the border, I'm with him. Are you going to actively campaign for President Trump? Yes, I will. And it turns out other Democrats are going to join as well. Very, very good. Meanwhile, Tom Cotton has scorched ABC News over some absurd claims it has made about Kamala and her positions. Very unsurprising, given the nature of the corruption of the press. Senator Cotton skewered ABC News host Jonathan Carl during an interview Sunday over false remarks he made about Democrat presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris' policy positions. The remarks on the networks this week happened when Cotton correctly pointed out the numerous ways that Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is different from Harris, who has supported decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms. Carl snapped. What do you mean, taking away health insurance? What are you talking about? She said she ran for president and that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, John Cotton correctly replied. Carl responded, claiming that's not our position now. How do you know that's not our position? How do you know that's not our position, Cotton pressed. Carl claims she no longer supports. But Cotton's gotten the right of all of this. Here we have a video clip. Check this out.
And President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job. Well, 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now. She
knows. How do you know that's not her medical position? How do you know that's not her position?
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for all.
She has not said that. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that, but the last thing that she said.
But this was not a radical convention. I mean, she as you heard me go through with Bernie Sanders, she is not taking the positions of the far left of her party. She's clearly making an effort to move to the middle.
I did hear what you said to Senator Sanders, and I thought it was clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. And when she campaigned for president, in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on, and
she
said she has changed. Yes, she has.
No, she has not. John, she has not said that.
Yeah. Cotton's 100% in the right, and this guy, John Carl, what a loser. How ridiculous is that? Meanwhile, we have a former student making a accusation here. It's called a sick accusation about Tim Walz, and it appears to be completely true. In fact, we have another story confirming it. Here, the most eyebrow-raising part of Minnesota Walz's biography is his affinity for communist China. By his own admission, he made more than 30 trips to China, spent his honeymoon in the communist nation. Wow, is that ever telling. Walz formed a private company to take high school students on trips to China while he was serving as a teacher before he launched his political career with a congressional run in 2006. He made his first trip, a visit to Hong Kong, 1989, traveled to Tiananmen Square in Beijing shortly after the communist government slaughtered protesters there. A former student of Walz named Shad talked with Alpha News about traveling with him to China in 1995. It was almost a daily revelation of how much he adores the communist regime, Shad said. Walz took a group of students on a trip to China in the summer of 1995, where they visited Tiananmen, where the Great Wall of China and explored the country. There was no doubt he was a true believer, Shad says. I've been trying to tell people this for 30 years. Nobody wanted to listen. Chad noticed something unusual about Walz during the trip. He was buying an infamous little red book filled with books for the calendar, Mao Zedong. At night, we'd go up, we'd walk the street fairs. We'd be buying souvenirs, but Tim was always buying the little red book. He said he gave them as gifts. I saw him buy at least a dozen on the trip. Wow. Well, here we have Tim Walz admitted he backs communist China over the American family in a shocking confession. Democrats continue to stab Americans in the back with bad policies. This time, Tim Walz committed the ultimate act of betrayal. He backs communist China over the American family, having made now a shocking confession. The Free Beacon published a section from an old article from Nebraska's Alliance Times-Herald revealing Walz's insane comments. In the article, Walz claimed because the Chinese population was so large, it justified the government establishing a policy of one child per family. Nowhere does he condemn the brutal policy of forcing pregnant moms to kill their babies. This is who Tim Walz really is. Not only did he think it necessary to back China's population control through forced abortions, he also applauded the communist system of government, claimed everyone shares and gets things for free. That's exactly the kind of policy we're getting from Kamala Harris. They are two peas in a pod. Have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom acknowledges, I've been told to say the Harris nomination was an open process. I've been told to say the nomination process for Vice President Harris was a very open process, a very inclusive process, Governor Gavin Newsom admitted Friday on a Far Left podcast. The so-called Democrat Party, of course, did not go through a democratic process. Democrat Party leaders coordinated Harris, who received zero Democrat primary votes, nullified about 14 million cast for President Biden. Harris officially accepted her party's nomination Thursday. We went through a very open process, a very inclusive process. It was bottom up. I don't know if you know that. That's what I've been told to say. Newsom laughed on the Pod Save America podcast. Now, bear in mind, Kamala didn't get on the ticket to begin with in the Democrat process. I believe George Soros has actually bought the DNC. Remember, that's a private company. Lock, stock, and barrel. And that after Biden was selected as the nominee, that she was announced to be the Democrat VP nominee by Alexander Soros, George Soros' son. There's nothing Democrat about it. And if you fall back on your memory about what's happened here, she didn't even make it to the first caucus in Iowa in 2020. There was so little interest in Kamala. So they've got themselves a massive losing ticket. But she's come out and said more and more about what she thinks about policies. And as Tom Cotton was calling out, she wants open borders. She wants to legalize. This is one of the ripoffs we get from Kamala Harris. She was attacking Donald Trump for not supporting a bipartisan border bill. But do you know that bipartisan border bill legalized 1.8 million illegals turning legal, coming across the border every year, 1.8 million? That's why he did not support it. Keith, I'm glad you're here now, my friend. I've been reviewing some of the issues. Tom Cotton has been calling out this week for misrepresenting Kamala's extremist policies. We had a former student explain how Tim Walz is an enthusiast for communist China, and what, during their many visits there, he bought innumerable copies of the Little Red Book of Mao Zedong. He himself is making a confession about supporting communist China and their way of mandating birth control policies, which of course ultimately backfired, because since there was a preference for boy babies in China, they would abort or commit infanticide on girl babies, and he wound up with a generation of mostly boys having no corresponding girls with whom to consummate a marriage. Keith, it's just outrageous. Give us some of your thoughts.
Well, let's go back to 2017, where Donald Trump had stopped the one-child policy through the UNFPA. Under that policy, the United States had supplied $100 million plus $12 million for the resources of the computers and all that tracking crap like that. In that policy, under the UNFPA, again, which Donald Trump had stopped, the Chinese had, through their one-child policy, aborted the entire population of the United States. That's 330-some million babies. Jim, I can't put this blame on China. The World Economic Forum, sure, it has ties to China because we're in a massive trade war. The U.S. wants to be on the top or the pinnacle of this trade, and that's why this deal with China, with Taiwan, the IC chips, all this stuff, this AI technology, the revolution, it's the U.S. wants on top of all this, and so, you know, they're willing to go to war with China. The other thing about that is the U.S. has tried to unsuccessfully build their IC chips down there in Arizona. Not having much luck at that. But the globalism starts over in Brussels. and is led by the United States. It's the financial backer of this. I sent you that video there about the end of human rights, end of free speech stuff. It's administered right from the United States. And they're the leaders because it's through their U.S. military. I mean, we're all proxies. We're in a massive proxy war. But you see in Britain right now, you know, they're releasing 5,000 prisoners to put in people that post memes on Facebook and stuff like that, you know. But Klaus Schwab had definitely said this misinformation that they're calling it. Remember, they rolled this out first as protecting children, online porn and stuff like that, you know. But this was giving up more of our rights to have more censorship. France right now arresting the founder of Telegram. What Edward Snowden has said about that. I mean, everyone thinks it's just China. No, it's these globalists. They're the ones, as Klaus Schwab calls them, the shareholders. They're the ones that have invested greatly in all this stuff. These are billionaires and stuff that want to take over the entire world to form their world government. China just happens to be like these Chinese drones and stuff like that, you know. They happen to be the number one supplier because they have the labor behind it. America used to have labor, but they sent it to China. Again, there's 350 U.S. businesses in China. If the U.S. really wanted to do something about the Chinese influence or something like that, they would pull all those U.S. businesses out of there, but they don't. Jim, I grew up in this country when we had strong labor unions. 40 hours a week, paid insurance, health insurance, overtime, sick leave, pregnancy leave, and then we had a paid two-week vacation. Well, that's all gone. The U.S. is the one that outsourced itself under Ronald Reagan. Now, this you and I talked about this a little bit. A lot of people attribute that NAFTA thing to Clinton, but it was Reagan that started it. But the United States cut its own throat. They deindustrialized due to these. It's a corporate takeover. That's what it is. But they deindustrialized the world to facilitate the building of China. And whether or not that's nefarious there or not, I don't know. But it all evolves around labor forces, just like all these coups and stuff in Latin America. They destroy the entire economies, and then they make sure that they can bring that workforce to America. You've heard Donald Trump himself say he wants all the immigrants to still come into this country. He just wants to vet them. Again, they're using the same biometric system that China's using. Now, I'd read back when I was doing my show, I think 4 years ago or something like that, there was a article from the U.S. government highlighting. And this is before COVID, by the way. But they were highlighting what China was doing. In excess that China has 900,000 doctors, but how do they see all their patients and stuff? Well, they were using apps like Zoom and stuff, you know, online doctors and stuff, you know. And so everything they did on rolling out this with COVID, they were mimicking what China was doing. And that was by no mistake. If you want to blame that, then you could go back to Donald Trump there, because in April of 2020, Donald Trump had sent millions of dollars worth of masks and these ventilator type things over to China. Whereas a week later, China sent those same masks and ventilators over to Israel for the IDF. But I think that China is constantly getting the rap, and I've commented on this, you know, this Beijing Biden. Why don't they talk about Tel Aviv Biden or Tel Aviv Trump? Everything is done by the banks and stuff. That recent article from California where the immigrants get zero down payment, zero payment a month like that for the homes now. Americans can't even get that. Well, we're going back down to this UN forced immigration stuff. The banks are paying for all this. Who runs the banks? So it's not China. China's not out there setting fiscal policy for the United States and stuff, you know. And they got us worrying about China having property here and stuff like that. Well, the Saudis, they have massive areas down in Arizona where they suck the Colorado River dry for their alfalfa fields and everything. But they want us constantly pissed off at China because that's the next coming war. If it isn't that, it's got to be something else, you know. But we always have to, Stockwell, John Stockwell. I have a good book of his. It's called About Enemies, In Search of Enemies. The United States has to have a constant enemy before. If it isn't the Russians, it's the Iranians. You know, we live in a war society. I look at these stupid videos on YouTube, whether it's from the Larry Johnson. They re-upload these videos and they put these military backgrounds. So instead of listening to, say, the judge and Ray McGovern or Doug McGregor talking, you have to watch all these background images of these tanks and things blowing up. We're in a militarized society. And the only way the United States can go, as Blinken said, is all the billions of dollars to Ukraine actually stays here because it creates U.S. jobs. And the only thing they worry about on U.S. jobs is high-tech jobs are in the military.
You're making many excellent points. I want to return to the Democrat convention because it's so fresh here. We got Joe Rogan noting that Joe Biden got taller after he disappeared with COVID. Actually, as I've reported now many times, he died in Las Vegas. When he came back, that's when we got the announcement, not on White House stationery, that he was withdrawing from the race. It had a forged signature. It did not have a certain formal verification required by the Federal Election Commission to make it an authentic campaign statement. He forgot to endorse Kamala, so that had to be done by a post on Twitter X. Now he's noticing when they introduce the guy at the White House, he's much taller. Here's part of what Joe Rogan said. Look at the size of this guy. He's so much bigger. Look how big he is. He's so much bigger than Jill. He's so much bigger, like he gained a legitimate 6 inches. I think actually 4. But let's pull up a clip here of Joe talking about
it. Hey, guys. Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah. Here.
Let me ask you.
Because I don't mind so much when we get Donald Trump Jr. But now they're multiple. They're stacking, you know, commercials on
that. Yeah, look at this one.
Here we go.
Look at how he walks. Look how tall he is. Like, he's towering over her.
But also how quickly he's walking.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. He thinks he's walking like an old man because that's a 40-year-old dude.
He's a whole head over Jill, whereas Jill came halfway up his skull in the past.
Can you put up footage of Biden walking?
There's also a kind of a power to his step, like he's trying to walk slowly. Yeah, well, there's an effortlessness to the way he's walking. This is, again, armchair physiologist, Joe Rogan. When I'm looking at...
Oh, wait, look, side by side. Wow.
Okay, which is the fake one? The tall one on the left?
Both.
Choreography. Acknowledging the body's awkward on-camera walks during the South Lawn Run. His halting, stiff gait.
That looks the same as the other one.
The one on the left does.
Yeah, that looks
Let's
like
see
this.
Again. Nah, that looks a little more effortless, dude. Look, he's much more casual. I mean, he's walking with a little bit of stiffness to his arms, but is much more casual with his legs. Let me see it again. I don't know. I might be fucking with my own mind. He's definitely...
No. He's got it exactly right. It's a fake. I have an inside source telling me that actually Jim Carrey has been recruited to play the role. But he's not the only fake there. Remember, the highlight of the whole convention was a speech by Michelle Obama. And it's not the $30,000 pantsuit she was wearing. is that the public has yet to catch on that Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. How many times have I explained this? So you here, Revolution Radio, you're aware of the reality. But most of the Democrats don't have the faintest idea. That just as Joan Rivers explained, we got our first gay president with Barack Obama, and that Michelle is a tranny. Everybody knows, she explained to the reporter. Well, that wasn't all of the fakery taking place there. Not just a fake president and a fake Michelle Obama, but we had a Hillary in some kind of mask. Very curious. Remember how Hillary has those chipmunk cheeks? I think they're artificial implants, but she can't get rid of them unless she were to have them removed. And yet the party there in the mask did not have and looked 20, 30 years younger. I got some questions for Hillary. My good friend Jeff Berwick has questions. It's all about her look at the DNC. First of all, the dark lines above her eyes. Yes, dark lines above her eyes. That would appear to be where the mask comes on. Second, the fact she looked 20 or 30 years younger than she did back in 2020. Let's start here. Seriously, what are those dark lines above her eye? Doesn't look natural at all. If you actually look at her, assuming it is a mask, it looks really obvious that it is a mask. And am I wrong? Are any of these people even real? Are they all demons, aliens, lizards with masks? And here we cut to some video clip. Here she is speaking. I'll even pull up the sound.
That shit really does look like a fucking mask. That does not look like Hillary Clinton. Am I tripping?
Here again.
Is it just me, or does Hillary Clinton look like an entirely different fucking person now? Like, what the fuck? She used to have a really saggy fucking chin, which that could be plastic surgery, but like... That does not look like Hillary Clinton. Even up here, that looks like that's a fucking mask. What is that? That shit really does look like a fucking mask. That does not.
Sorry about all the F-bombs, but there it is. He's being honest and candid. Something we're not getting from the Democrat Party. Anything hey, but. Yeah, Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, I have something to note on this. When BB came over here and got his standing ovations, who controls this country? When you assert there that James Carey, well, who controls Hollywood? You know, again, I doubt that Hillary or Biden would have Chinese makeup artist and stuff like that. These guys in Hollywood, even those that questioned the Trump alleged assassination attempt, that there were so many things that were out of place like that. Well, who would be able to stage that but those that make our Hollywood movies and stuff like that? So yeah. We've already ascertained the fact that who's controlling this country, who's controlling the media, everything like that. So again, I wouldn't doubt that half of these people are fake. Who controls the music industry to where they can edit someone's voice live to make it sound as if it's some orchestrated thing? I mean, it's Hollywood. But who controls Hollywood? We are being led by one group of people that have their one world agenda. And the only way to get that one world agenda is to bring all these other countries under that forum for total control.
Gee, and I couldn't agree more. You're 100% correct. And let me just say about these body doubles and all that, I was calling them out back in 2020 at my False Flag and Conspiracy virtual conference. Had a piece there on deception galore, faking hate crimes and more. I take you through how the Jussie Smollett event was faked, how the George Floyd event was faked, the Bubba Wallace event was faked, how Hillary has been using body doubles since she collapsed back in 2015 at a 9/11 memorial event. She collapsed and they threw her unceremoniously in an ambulance disguised as an SUV, took her back to Chelsea's new apartment, one she didn't actually need. But this one had the benefit that the same floor had a private hospital, which they closed down to have only one patient, namely Hillary. And when she didn't appear, they worried that questions would arise about her health. So they sent out a body double, younger, thinner, far more attractive and appealing, whom I refer to as her Meg Ryan double. Within days, they had another on a flight to Raleigh, North Carolina, looked more like Meryl Streep. And even at the convention debating Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, the national convention, they had the best Hillary double of them all. Younger, thinner, healthier, far more attractive, with a voice of Hillary Clinton, as I'm sure you're aware, Keith. They have the ability now, a voice box or the equivalent, to project the exact voice they want to imitate. And I was also reporting there how the real Joe Biden appears to have died in 2017. That he's replaced by the fake Joe Biden, who now appears to have expired in Las Vegas. How they had different shape and size of skull, how they had different signatures, different body language interacting with Jill, though she seems to go along with anyone they want to cast in the role. And where, in fact, you know, Michelle was born Michael LaVon Robinson. We got lots of photographic record of her with Barack, where it's clear she has no female sex characteristics, but where a physician who looked after her on the campaign walked into her in a trailer near Trenton, New Jersey, taking a leak standing up. And while he'd been paid millions for his silence, he can remain silent no longer, exposing that Michelle is not a man who underwent a sex change, that Michelle is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I think it's just incredible, the fraud and deception being practiced. And I want to encourage everyone. I'm going to put it up on my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer. It's already on my BitChute account. Actually, if you just go online and put in deception galore, just go onto your browser, deception galore, hate crimes and more, it's going to pop up. As I say, December 2020, I think now, Keith, because of this new Joe Biden, you know, this new fake Joe Biden being 4 inches taller and Hillary wearing a mask at the convention, that there's going to be a lot more open-mindedness to what I was explaining then in 2020. And if you go from there, believe me, I got a whole lot more to tell you about what all the fake events taking place, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. Keith, it's stunning how the Democrat Party is built on nothing but fraud and deception, lies and deceit. There's nothing more to the party than a massive pile of hokum, smoke and mirrors, gaslighting. It's disgusting.
Well, you remember when this speculation of Hillary and her doubles first came out? Remember the flight that Hillary was having from Iran over to Iraq and her plane went down and killed that one pilot? Or I think it was a pilot. She was severely injured in that. That's when she started having this doctor at her side all the time. So who knows if that's the real Hillary, or if the other one didn't in fact die. Like I say, everything is...
That was another point about the body double they sent out way back when. There was no Secret Service detail which would accompany her. She didn't have this psychiatrist you're talking about, who used to accompany her everywhere. In fact, at the end of 2017, New York Times had an article, Hillary's in the House, about her appearing at four different plays on Broadway. And I wrote to the author and said, that was a very interesting article with a photograph, but none of those was Hillary Clinton. And of course, another tell, no Secret Service detail and all that. He, of course, did not respond, because they can't reveal, blow the cover, all this fraud and fakery. But I think the internet now and the more open-mindedness, look, all this coming out about Tim Walz already. I mean, I used to think maybe there was an exaggeration in describing the Democrat Party as communist. It's not an exaggeration at all, Keith. It's full-blown, literally true. Literally true.
Well, I've been saying that for the longest time. They should just rename the Democrat Party to the Communist Party. I mean, look at Zelensky over there in Ukraine. Most of his films are all behind a green screen. Who has the ability to do all that? See?
Yeah, well, getting green screen ain't that tricky. I do shows on a real deal media, and occasionally, if we're performing a song or something, I have a green screen. You can set it up without too much trouble. I mean, that's the only occasion I've ever used it. And it was for, you know, a clearly theatrical performance. But so it's not the expense. It's that they're doing it with regularity. I mean, Keith, you make a good point. Give us a final thought, and I'll bring in our featured guest for today, Sophia Smallstorm.
Yeah, well, again, I look at everything that's going on. We're being led down this road. They're selling us the Ukraine war, the Gaza war. I mean, I'll put it this way, Jim, just in summary. I get so sick and tired of, like, if you want to say the, what's it, George Floyd. If George Floyd was supposed to be a traumatic thing and they put statues up for him and stuff like that, for one black guy that allegedly dies by the hand of the police who's trained by Israel in the first place, but why isn't there that outrage when 2,000-pound bombs destroy schools and stuff over in Israel? The same thing with school shootings over here. If there were school shootings and stuff, which are designed to disarm us, but if there was so much turmoil and tragedy over a school shooting, why isn't the same thing being done over in Israel when bombs are being dropped on little Gazan children, you know?
Yeah. There's much more about that, not for today, but by and by, we continue to cover these events on a regular, ongoing basis. I would like to say a few words about our special guest today. She's one of my favorite people on planet Earth. She's shown insight and intelligence from the beginning about Sandy Hook, for example. She produced a documentary, Sandy Hook and 2, 3, 4, 5 Dimensions, that was a smash. She's done a documentary about 9/11 mysteries that was also splendid. She's been ahead of the curve about almost every issue I could name. I'm so glad to have her back again. Sophia Smallstorm, Sophia, welcome back to The Raw Deal.
Jim, thank you so much for being so generous in your praise for me. That was very nice of you. Thank you. And for having me on.
All deserved, Sophia, and I'm just delighted to have you here. You'd be welcome to comment on any of the issues we've been addressing or take us in a different direction.
Well, you know, I listened to the first half hour when both of you, hello, Keith, how are you?
Yeah, hello, nice meeting you.
Yeah, as you were talking about these different issues and I was making notes in my mind, but I didn't write any of them down. So, you know, the thing is with this, we have control behind the scenes, but we also have a tremendous occult program going on. And I don't mean anything mystical, spiritual, dark, although that exists as well. But what is on the surface, the things that politicians and presidents claim they're going to fix, those are actually much smaller and more less, let's just say, less invidious than the insidious behind the scenes giant agendas, which have already gotten us to a point that of almost no return. I will say almost because I'll hold out a little hope. So, you know, Trump's slogan, MAGA, right? Make America Great Again. This is nebulous. Nebulous. What does that mean? What is great? And we have RFK now, who has eclipsed J.D. Vance. People are almost thinking that it's Trump RFK, not Vance is gone. He's been obliterated by the presence of RFK Jr. That's whom I'm speaking of, actually, when I say RFK. But anyway, his slogan, which I haven't heard termed this way, but it's MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. Now, that's a little less nebulous than MAGA, but healthy, you know, ostensibly means less disease, right? But once again, we have as I have explained on many podcasts and in many of my newsletters, there is a nanobiotech invasion of all life. All living organisms have been invaded, and there is a parallel biology being run in everything. And that is not to our benefit. And that has to be recovered from. And are these people, is Mr. Kennedy aware of this? Is he going to do anything about the aerial spraying, the stratospheric geoengineering, the aerosol programs that have really contributed in a big way to this, and that are being twinned in terms of what's happening to biology with the effects of these new vaccines? Now, what has been destroyed in America, and RFK Jr. cut his teeth on some of this material in his environmental lawsuits, but what has been destroyed to the point of almost no recovery is the soil. The soil is wrecked. And I learned from a friend whose family was actually in this industry that as of the early 1950s, the US government paid growers to put chemical pesticides and fertilizers on everything being grown for our consumption. And that is when the soil biome became degraded. And it has been so degraded to this point that our biome is functioning at about 10 to 20% of what it should, because the organisms are just not there. The demineralization of soil and the eradication of the biomic spectrum in the soil has created our health problems that RFK Jr. wants to correct through going after Big Pharma, and Trump is saying the same thing. But that's not where the problem is. It's in the earth itself. I'm waiting.
Yes, yes, yes. Do continue, Sylvia. No, you're on a roll. Go for it.
So, you know, there are what a friend of mine, the one that I mentioned before, calls, I'm not sure if this is exactly his term, but diversionary corrections. So you put certain issues in the spotlight while other programs flourish and nobody talks about them. So we have, when RFK Jr. announced Nicole Shanahan as his running mate, what did you think of that, Jim? Did you have any thoughts, or did you have any thoughts?
Well, I was very surprised. I mean, she was an unknown. I've since seen her do an interview clip, and she seemed like a very reasonable, sensible person. She's also a billionaire. I thought she was not a good choice, but I suppose, you know, at some point, Bobby Jr. might explain his rationale. He had the opportunity to run as a candidate for the Green Party, which I think would have had access, ballot access in all 50 states. One of the more fascinating parts about his presentation Friday, I don't mean when he was at the Trump rally, when Trump introduced him, but earlier in the day, was his critique of how the Democrats had blocked him at every opportunity from getting ballot access, from being taken seriously as a candidate, very much as they'd done with Bernie Sanders, where they took 13 primaries Bernie had won and shipped them into the Hillary column to guarantee she would be the candidate. They've really done themselves so much damage, because I have no doubt Bernie Sanders at that point in time would have run a very strong race against Donald Trump, might even have beat him. And I do think that RFK Jr., given all the controversy about Trump in various regards, could have run a very competitive race against Donald Trump as the Democrat nominee, and possibly even beaten him. Now they've joined forces, which is the right thing to do. The Democrats have discredited themselves on so many different grounds. They've actually gone full communist. Kamala and Walz are the proof. Tom Cotton was so spot on when he enumerated those policies. And if you listen to Kamala talk about the difference between equality and equity. And of course, the concept of equality in our society is meant equal justice under the law. In other words, everyone is supposed to be treated the same in the eyes of the law, which we know is manifestly not true. but it's at least a worthy ideal versus what she means by equity. And this is paraphrasing Kamala's own words. She says equality sounds fine, except not all people begin at the same starting point. And she wants everyone to end at the same place. In other words, she wants everyone to have the same property, the same ability, regardless of achievement or contribution. She's promoting a communist ideal, leveling the playing field economically in every possible way. It's really disgusting if you focus in on what she means by it, because we really are up against an America First Party versus a communist first party. Sophia, I'm just shocked by the way this is all developed. I never expected in my lifetime. I always regard myself as a JFK FDR Democrat. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I even voted for Barack Obama twice. But when Trump appeared on the scene, it was like a fresh breeze blowing across the nation. And although I have misgivings about his wholehearted support for Israel, we get that on the other side, the other party as well. Even Bobby was giving deference to Israel. It's a fact of our time, alas, that Israel has so much control, as Keith was observing earlier. He has done the right thing to join forces, and he's explained other Democrats are going to join campaigning with Trump. And if we have anything resembling a fair election, which I wish I could guarantee, I mean, after all, they stole it in 2020. They stole it in 2022. Why not do it again in 2024? I think the only inhibition would be if there's no plausible way they can claim their candidate was able to take the election. And I think it's playing out that way, that there's going to be no plausible way Kamala and Harris, the communist ticket, could win in America. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, there was that Democrat, I forget his name, but recently he said that they would disqualify Trump if he won. What do you say to that?
You mean the Congress. You mean if he won the election that Congress wouldn't verify by accepting the electoral vote? Is that to what you're alluding?
I did. Yeah. And then I'll bring up John Rappaport's comment. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, bring up John.
I want to ask, what do they have the ability to disqualify Trump if he wins? I mean, can they steal this? What we have in the twinning of Kamala Harris and Waltz is kind of like La Cage aux Folles. And I don't know if Americans, if the people who remain Democrats enjoy and like and support this kind of parade, because it's a parade, and they're parading concepts that nobody should be happy to hear about, that this is the future where, you know, we'll all be leveled down to the same possession, the rights to possess, in this it'll all be equal. But I'm going to ask you something. Somebody pointed out to me, I didn't hear her say this, that Michelle Obama, when she spoke, I think it was at the Democratic convention, she said that her mother taught her to be suspicious of anyone who had more than they needed, right? Were you aware of she said that?
Yes, because there's a whole article saying it was such a colossal blunder. If you look at the four mansions, the Obamas have $30 billion on Martha Vineyard alone. I mean, she really put her foot in her mouth with that one, Sophia.
Yeah, so Rappaport, I will go to my blog and pull it up, because it is a very interesting commentary with this appointment of RFK Jr. So hold on just 1 minute, and then I'll read you things from it. Because you know, you said to me when we talked yesterday that you really admire John Rappaport. He's been around for a long time, just as you have.
While you're searching that, let me add something here.
Yeah.
Kamala was just talking about putting us like price freezes on things, and everyone instantly said something about communism. Then came out this article about Kroger's, where Kroger's new digital AI system, you scan things with your phone and all this stuff, you know, total AI world. But the prices vary. From the time that you think that you're, purchasing a product or something like that, you put it in your cart, the price may change just between the time that you picked it up off the shelf there, because it's got this new digital system like that. And I wanted to say that because right before I left work there, because I'm blowing out my back there, I was getting a third contract. Actually, it would have been a fourth, but installing these satellite systems at gas stations and grocery stores. And those are the ones that, you know, when the market changes, they instantly run out there and they change their gas prices and stuff. And the only way to describe that is if a grocer was to buy a pallet of green beans at, say, 40 cents a can. And so, again, he has two pallets. And so he's already paid for those. And so on the aisle, he's got them for 89 cents. But the market changes, and then he instantly goes out there and runs that price up to $1.19 a can for, say, green beans. But he's already paid for the original ones, and so his profit margin skyrockets. And if you remember that movie Deep Impact, that was the first thing the president did was to limit, so people couldn't raise the cost of a bottle of water and stuff. But what we're seeing right now is inflation is taking over the world. And this is a precursor of the collapse of the coming dollar collapse. And this, again, will be to usher in their new digital system there. But the point is, though, is they want absolute control over everything we do. And speaking of that, Jim, I just sent you an email. I just got off of Telegram there. But it shows you the way that things are going with the arrest of the Telegram guy like that, but how they want this total security, and they're using it, like I say, to fight pedophilia and stuff. And yet we've got a country here that can't even account for hundreds of thousands of lost children and stuff. I mean, it's all a diversion. Everything's a diversion. They keep us so busy. And one more thing, when Antifa and BLM was running around destroying government buildings, toppling statues and stuff, the Trump administration had reconstructed the statue of Albert Pike, General Albert Pike. He's the one that said, when they need a hero, we'll supply them with one. You know,
yeah,
so...
Keith, listen, I know. I want to get back to Sophia now. You're taking us in different directions. I want to stay focused. Sophia, go ahead. I presume you pulled up the John Rappaport piece in the meanwhile.
I did, but I do want to comment on something that Keith said, and then I will go back to the Kennedy appointment or whatever, collaboration. So, you know, algorithms are very sneaky. And if you go on Amazon and you look for something, based on your purchasing history and the amount of money you tend to spend, that determines your price. Did you know that?
That's the thing I was telling you about, that new Kroger thing. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly. And here's another thing I found out. So I have gone to Amazon when I can't find something and I don't know where to get it in a store. So this is the reason that I do go there. And you look at something and it's whatever, $21.95. And then I tell a friend about it and they look at it and it's $23.95 or it's $18.95. And you think the price has dropped? But you go back, and for you, it's $21.95. For them, it's a different price. Now, if you put something in your cart and you leave it there, you will be advised a couple of days later when you revisit your cart that this has gone up. So they price per your spending history and what they try to get as much as they can out of you for each.
Yeah, what you're willing to pay for it, yes.
Exactly. And that's why this AI, that's another thing. So I'll go back to the appointment of Nicole Shanahan.
Well, let me just say then, I appreciate Keith, your care taking us in that direction. I mean, Sophia actually shouts at Kroger's.
Yeah.
So she actually knows what's going on here.
No,
so,
not Kroger's. We don't have Kroger's. But
okay.
I might as well, because all of the big chains are now becoming able to do this, right? So Shanahan, I know she's not in the picture anymore, but I'm going to point something out, and then we're going to walk ourselves into the correlate for Trump, all right?
Yeah.
So Shanahan was married to, fill in the blank, Sergey Brin.
Tell us.
Google. So Shanahan, she has a lot of background in tech in Silicon Valley. And she was selected because this is all the credit goes to Allison McDowell, my friend Allison McDowell, because she speaks the language of Silicon Valley and RFK Jr. doesn't. So she would be needed to make the blockchain enslavement go through while they're correcting this and correcting that environmentally and doing this to Eli Lilly or whatever pharma company that they're wanting us to appreciate their, you know, they're hunting down. But behind the scenes, we're being moved, morphed into this joinder, which is a kind of grafting of AI into human stock. And I've been looking into horticulture. I was originally going to do a show with Jim today about avocados. It's very interesting. Maybe we'll have time to get into it. But in horticulture, there is something called grafting, where you take what's called the scion, the leaves and fruit part of one plant, and you, I think you physically connect to the rootstock of another. And this is how you create a new variety, a hybrid. So our hybridization is going to be with AI, and it's coming through technocratic oversight, rules, supervision, melding into our lives. And people are accepting it without realizing what's going on. So J.D. Vance was the parallel appointment in Trump's campaign to Nicole Shanahan in RFK's, RFK Jr.'s. And J.D. Vance, his buddy Peter Thiel, he comes from this world, right? And he was the person who was going to put the gloss on all of this background movement that RFK Jr. didn't have anyone to do. So they are pulling in tech people, and the tech stuff is going to go on while they pretend they're doing other things. This is what I call diversionary corrections.
Sophia, that's wonderful points now. Because we're on Studio A, we are plugged in from Studio B to broadcast on Studio A today. We can't hear the break, but they're having a break. So in order for the audience to be able to hear our continuing conversation, we want to take a timeout for about 4 minutes. So stand by and I'll let you know when we're back. But I'm just delighted to have you here, Sophia and Keith. You're making a lot of important contributions. We'll be right back with a raw deal here on Revolution Radio this 26th day of August, 2024. Stand by. Well, guesstimating is not an exact science. Well, let's bring back our guests. Let me say, during the break, while I made a cup of coffee, my wife was watching MSNBC, and they were reporting how the Democrats have raised $500 million since the convention. And what they weren't adding is that that's not pro-Kamala money. That's anti-Trump money. They're scared shitless if Trump gets into office that he's going to drain the swamp, clean the clock, secure the borders, and go after a lot of the miscreants who have been destroying this country. That's why they're opening their wallets to a brainless boob who hasn't even had an interview. She won't have an unscripted interview for, 40 days now? Yeah, Keith, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, with all those Democratic-held cities and stuff like that, the tents, the homeless, it's not coming from them. So, again, it's got to be big corporations.
Yeah, that are scared of Trump. Let me just add, by the way, Sylvia was asking about, could they deny Trump when they do the electoral count on January 6th? Mike Pence abdicated his responsibility in cases where states had disputed elector slates to send it back to the states for determination, because the states are responsible for determining which electors they send to the Electoral College for the count. Because Kamala Harris is now vice president, would be presiding over, there may be a lot of havoc she could wreak in that role under instruction, since she's a mere puppet. I mean, you know, she really doesn't have an original thought. Trump been pointing out she's accomplished nothing. When her 4 years as a senator, she didn't pass a single bill. And in all the years as vice president, even as a border czar, there's this wonderful clip going around where she's doing an interview, and she's asked, she's talking about claiming to the host, and it have been a 60 Minutes, you know, we have gone to the border, and and the host interrupts and said, well, you haven't gone to the border. And she responded saying, well, I haven't been to Europe either. I mean, I don't get your point. But the point is obvious. She was a border czar. The border czar, not even gone to the border, but talking about how we've gone to the border. She is a shameless shill, an empty vessel, and it's an insult to the American people that a once important political party has nominated her to be president of the United States. Sophia, the mic is yours.
Well, Jim, yes, it is a sham. As I said, those two are La Cage aux Folles characters. But to get back to Rappaport, he says that.
Yes.
So he wrote this before the actual announcement came. He says, rejoice, rejoice, Kennedy will drop out of the race, endorse Trump. Trump will become, will welcome Kennedy into the fold, and Trump will make a specific promise or lay out a broad hint that he will appoint Kennedy to a key position after he wins the presidency. And he says, you know, there are practical barriers to this. They're called checks and balances. So what this requires, the, you know, positioning of someone in any one of these agencies as head or director, it requires a Senate confirmation, a majority vote. So he said, so the Republicans would have to attain a Senate majority in the November election. And even then, there are many rhinos in the Senate who would vote no on a Kennedy appointment to any position. So I understand that rhino, R-I-N-O, is Republican in name only.
Sure.
So again, what about Kennedy as Attorney General or Secretary of State or Agriculture Secretary? They too require majority vote confirmation in the Senate. So would head of the CDC. So this is what troubles me, right? What are they going to do? You can't just plop someone in a position. You need to have that Senate confirmation.
Well, actually, I think Trump has anticipated the problem. You may or may not have noticed when he welcomed the support of RFK Jr., he spoke of creating two presidential commissions which do not require Senate confirmation. One was a commission for releasing assassination-related documents, including that of JFK. The other, however, was on advising the government about medical policy, big pharma, and the like. And he implied that RFK Jr. would be the head of that commission. So I think Trump has already anticipated the problem that John Rappaport has laid out so clearly. That's my take. Keith, yours.
Well, I know that one thing is that saying about how you can grow up to be president. All kids are told that when they're young like that, but you can't fight this system. You know, everything they're doing with Donald Trump, and like I say, I'm not into politics, but it's clearly election interference. They want him out, but a guy has to realize what the premise is because anytime any country, and this is the U.S. policy, by the way, anytime that you're for your own country, nationalism, pride, any of that stuff, you know, make America great, whatever like that, it could be make Venezuela great. It doesn't matter. Anytime you seek independence and stuff, that's when they go after you. They want total control of everything, financial, everything. Even that one video on Pfizer there where they said that Pfizer wanted access to the military, the banks, and their embassies. Well, that's total control. Now, why would Pfizer want that? This is a corporate takeover, and this is what it is. We live in a, what's that word, corporatocracy? I can't even pronounce that. But anyway, the corporations control everything, and you can listen to Senator Dick Black. He says the same thing. Trump, Harris, they're all robo-signers. They're basically, everyone is deciding things from Brussels, and these guys just sign the paper. The banks needed a massive bailout in 2019. They had COVID, $5.3 trillion was infused into the banks and corporations, kept those going, and they stuck everyone else with it and then locked us all down while they shut down all the small businesses and stuff. And what happened? Well, all those PPP loans and stuff, which were supposed to keep people employed and stuff, well, no one had to pay those back. It was the biggest wealth-stripping thing from the United States, and now we have two wars going on, which is the same thing. Billions of dollars and stuff as Americans can't feed themselves and everything like that. And this is, too directed. The world can't feed itself. Inflation is everywhere. People can't afford their homes, everything. Matter of fact, I want to say this real fast. I read an article this morning from Ukraine where a lady, this wasn't Ukraine. She was a wife of a paramilitary guy who became a paramilitary. They were losing their home. They had foreclosures and everything like that. They just had a baby born and everything like that. And the only way the guy could make any money was to join this paramilitary thing. He hadn't even collected a check before he was killed.
Hello?
And I was trying to reconnect and unfortunately disconnected. Keith, you were making some key points. If you could go back about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened because I just had a power glitch here at the house, too.
Yeah. Well, go right ahead. Go right ahead. I'm glad we're all back together. Go right ahead.
Can I echo what Keith said? Okay.
Yeah.
So he was talking about the corporations being in control. And I call this capstone money, Jim. And this comes from my work on Handy Sook. Right? You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
So the capstone people are at the very, very, very top of the pyramid. And that top of the pyramid is shrouded in clouds, as one of my readers pointed out to me. And I wrote a newsletter about this. So there are many levels of execution below the top of the pyramid. And We only see a few levels up the pyramid. The people who constitute the bottom layer of the pyramid are actually the people who do the work of the world. And then there are people who profit off work that other people do. And they're on an, let's say, administrative, lower level of corporate control. But then you get higher and higher, and you get into media, you get into levels of the pyramid where there's an elitism that is, and preference that is conferred on people. But at the very top, you don't see who's there. And that's where the capstone money comes from for all of these agendas. This money is digitized. It's not even printed. And there's an infinite supply of it. And then it is funneled down the pyramid through arrangements called commerce and contracts. And what has happened in our world is that people have been acclimated to accepting money, payment, and they will do almost anything for that. And that's the change. That's the change in from natural living, where you actually dug in the soil and created your own food and you figured out how to sew your own clothes. We don't live in that world anymore. And anybody can be paid to do anything and given promises that they will be protected and treated preferentially. And they'll believe that and do it until that doesn't happen for them anymore.
Yeah, did you guys hear my comment about AOC?
No, go for it.
Okay, yeah, well, that's where the power glitch came in there. But as I was saying, they depress the economy. This is how they keep a constant influx of people trying to pay their student loans by getting them to go into the military to pay your student loans. So during the alleged COVID pandemic, AOC was on the street corner down in New York telling everyone that if you, who've lost a loved one during COVID, go down and have your medical examiner or doctor recertify the death as COVID, which is a felony, FEMA will pay you $8,500. Well, now see, in a depressed economy, people will do anything, as you're mentioning, you know. This is how they get their little lackeys on board, and they'll go along with the thing. They don't care. Their loved one's dead. As long as they can make $8,500, who cares? It's a monetary-based system.
Yeah. Sophia, back up. Sophia, go right ahead.
Yes, yes, I was on mute. So I just wanted to mention, there is a guy online, and he's very, very out there. But I suspect that he is actually looking into certain things, and he may be very well, he may very well be telling us what we don't know. So his name is Agent, he goes by Agent something, 131711. And his Substack is chemtrails.substack.com. So he posted something recently which shocked me. And I don't know if you've heard of Dead Peasants Insurance.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Okay. So I'm going to read you my blog post. If you just go to sophiasmallstorm.com, S-O-F-I-A, and you look, it's in the scroll down part now in the red titles. Just type in Walmart gets rich on dead peasants insurance, or dead peasants, just those words. So this is also called COLI, company owned life insurance. Here's how it works. Step one, Walmart pays minimum wage, forcing employees to live on food stamps, then collects money from their food stamp purchases, right? Step two, Walmart secretly takes out life insurance policies on its employees for up to $1.5 million. It also offers COLI payments of $50,000 per employee to family members in the event of the employee's death. Step three, knowing that food stamp diets are a serious health hazard, Walmart collects on employees who die even if they leave the company.
I've heard that before on other firms. Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Keith.
I've heard that on other firms too. A lot of these big CEO ones, that they have everyone insured, which there was that secret Social Security thing. I looked up mine there. My Social Security comes back to Richmond, Virginia. On it, you can look at a list of every transaction you've had to do with anyone. I lost a link but I was trying to send it with a friend there, but I was wondering, is this how the government does this too? You know how the government say you're in military and you die and they give the family survivors benefits? Is it because they're taken out of the secret Social Security thing to where everyone is actually insured through that? And that's why they want to make sure everyone's got Social Security cards?
It could be. It definitely could be. I mean, as of the 1870s, this government became a corporation. And, you know, the city I live in, Encinitas, was incorporated in 1986, I think. And this is how the people who sit on the city councils and the board of supervisors of our counties and cities, when you go to these meetings and you air your grievances and you ask that this be attended to or that be done, they can sit there and twiddle on their phones and make faces and laugh because they don't owe you anything. They are not representing you. That is in theory only, but in fact, they are serving a corporation and they are there to build its coffers, to make money for it, to invest its money. And all these, the chump change that these cities collect that they, you know, claim is their, constitutes their budget, it's like parking meter fines and that kind of thing, parking meter collections and parking fines and small stuff like that. And then they tell you they're bankrupt and broke, but they really have massive amounts of money laid into what's called CAFR accounts.
Yes, CAFR, yeah.
Yeah, and they're building their agendas with this. And so I asked someone who was on the County Board of Supervisors here in San Diego, the education board, and she told me, of course we need that. She said, when we make a plan that is, you know, pitched out 3-4 years, it's going to take us 3-4 years to, let's just say, have a big banquet, all right? But they could, it could be anything. It could be bringing the LGBTQ books into the schools, whatever. But whatever that thing is, that program that they've got on the agenda for to be completed 4 years down the road, they have to put the money to pay for that aside. And so their real budget is gigantic, but their claimed budget is puny.
Right. Yeah, that CAFR report brought out the fact that, like, with local police and stuff, the county through taxes and stuff has immense wealth. And then they get you through mill levies and stuff to dicker whether or not you want a new toilet, public toilet, or a new patrol car, you know. But the money's already there.
So these games that are played, this sleight of hand that is played with money, that the public is too innocent to suspect or believe. If I told my neighbors about dead peasants insurance, they probably wouldn't believe it.
Well, here's another one for you that I've been wondering about. I listen to the stock reports and stuff, not for financial. I mean, I like to see the way the country's going and stuff. But when the IMF gets out there and they say that most people afford a $400 debt like that before it puts them into poverty, like they did to me here recently. But what I'm wondering is they keep coming out with this astounding number of like 31 million now dead from COVID and whatever like that, the vaccines. That's just one. But if you, again, look at like the average household has at least $5,000 in credit card debt. Well, that's just another one. But if all these people are dying from COVID and all these guys in war and stuff, 600,000, 700,000, whatever like that over in Ukraine and stuff, who is assuming all that debt? Because these people had credit cards, personal loans, all this stuff. The bankers are willing to wipe it off the books, and I can prove it. And you can do that by looking how they're doing this immigration stuff. Like I said earlier, the housing, they're giving immigrants free housing, no payments, stuff like that, you know. If the banks could afford to do that and yet hound you for being late on a payment, there's something really screwing with our financial system.
Yeah, because it's all punitive. They're still conducting this as though we're school children in school. And if you're late to class, you have to go to the principal's office or stand in the hall. And this is how it works. And people are conditioned to believe that we're always afraid we've done something wrong. We've broken some, you know, uniform commercial code, which is not really a law, right? It's right. not a crime. Let's just call it a crime. It's a law. It's a code. We've committed an infraction of a code, and there's 600,000 codes. And we don't know them all. And sometimes they'll post a sign that says speed limit 35. But that's about as much as people can see. So they can't see how this really works. And they're not sharp enough. I mean, the intellect.
Well, that's like speed limits on highways. Speed limits on highways are regulated for commercial traffic. That's where this stuff gets in there with sovereign citizens and stuff that push the envelope all the time. But roads are designed for corporate commercial traffic, not right. you know, public stuff. So that's actually been fought in court to where, say, someone is given a ticket because they were doing 50 or something like that in a 45 or going around corner or whatever like that. And they actually get out there with the city planning or the state planning and find the regulations of what the actual highway was built for speed and stuff. And it all comes down to corporate again. They're always trying to regulate everything in the private world, whether it's, you know, having a home garden, grass that's 8 inches tall so they can find you. I mean, all this stupid stuff like that. And it is. It's constant wealth stripping and to keep you in constant poverty. I think E. Michael Jones brought that out in the 70s, how they lowered the wages and then out came the credit cards so that people thought they at least had some wealth because they could go out and spend it and pay for it later. And back then, I remember the credit cards were like 6% interest. Today, they're at 30% interest. I mean, it's wealth stripping.
Yeah, but we have to consent to that, and that's the right. problem. Once you do, then you are participating in your own destruction.
But yeah, that's why they're going after the crypto world, because they don't want anyone's independence from their banking system.
Yeah, so it will all be blockchain slaves one day, and everything will be transparent, and people will say, I have nothing to hide, and they will be, you know, I wrote a newsletter last month. If anyone wants to subscribe to my newsletter, they can go to sophiasmallstorm.com and look at the icon and learn how to do that, but it's by donation, annual donation. But AI robots have become more adept and kinder and more sympathetic to the elderly than real people. So real people have no time for one another. You can actually rent a friend for $40 an hour and go shopping with a rented friend, because the benefit is you don't have to hear about this person's problems. People are annoying. If you spend time with real friends, they will tell you their problems, and this is a pain in the ass.
You're starting to sound like me.
Now, this is the theory behind renting companionship. And I'll stop there because it can get...
You're talking about, Sophia, you're talking about this like a escort service. You can rent a shopping companion. It's a real person. It's a real person, right?
Yeah, but it's not intimate.
I get it. I get it. You're saying so you don't have any personal, just somebody to accompany you while you go shopping to chat about meaningless events and so forth, right?
Yeah, Norina Hertz wrote a book, The Lonely Century, which is actually an excellent book. I bought it a year or so ago, and I didn't read it properly, and I read the whole thing, and I thought, my God, I have to write a newsletter. Norina, N-O-R-E-E-N-A, Hertz, H-E-R-T-Z, The Lonely Century. And she herself tried this. She rented, I don't know, her name was Lindsay. Lindsay went to Brown. She had a degree from Brown, just like me. She couldn't find a job, so she joined Rent-A-Friend.
Rent a friend, that's amazing.
Yeah, and guess who started it? Some Israeli.
Of course. Now listen, we're not going to have a break here because we're on Studio B and we're broadcasting over Studio A, but I can open the lines to callers after you finish what you want to say. We may or may not actually be live. I can't tell at this point. But if there's more you'd like to cover before I open the lines, once I open the lines, you can, of course, continue. Sophia, your choice.
No, I'm ready. I'm happy that Keith said I sound just like him because you accomplished the integration of both your guests.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got into ham radio back in 76. And I've talked to people all over the world and they're like that. And I listen here on shortwave and I hear people all over the world talking about the issues in their certain area like that, you know. And more people just want to I think that's part of the COVID thing, is they actually like that seclusion of, you know, 6 foot distancing stuff, you know, is the more you're around people, the more, what did Bill Hicks say? You can't watch TV for more than 5 minutes without hoping for thermonuclear war. But it's just that but people are getting so disgusted about being around other people because people are so phony. It's now here in Montana, I think it's different here because I still love watching, you know, you drive by some field like there'd be two farmers standing there at the gate talking with each other like that, you know. People right. still take the time out here to actually talk to one another, you know, and I think, go ahead, Jim.
Maybe it's because of a dearth of cell phone towers, because a cell phone has transformed culture. Probably the most powerful technological invention since a printing press, absent television, perhaps, because individuals spend all their time interacting with their close friends. They don't develop new relationships by and large. They don't interact with their community, but with their circle of friends. Sophia, would you be inclined to agree?
Jim, I have to go back to the assaults on our bodies, and there are so many of them, and they're so so pervasive. And I'm talking about the destruction. There's no iodine in the soil, so we have to take iodine. I sell iodine, and people report enormous benefits from doing that.
Now there is iodine about, benefits, yeah.
Yeah, the sulfur cycle was disrupted as of the 1950s. And I can explain it. We can do a show on it sometime. But I bought a bunch of sulfur that I'm sharing with friends. And my own constitution has improved drastically in 2 weeks from just taking sulfur. And then there's, you know, the biome, this other product that I discovered really helps that. And these are very simple, elemental things. But we are in so much anguish on the cellular level. Our cells are being assaulted. And that, I think, is what contributes to our malaise, the change in the human spirit. And this is going on worldwide. I mean, there is a rhythm of life. You see someone, you smile. That is, you know, in terms of evolution, biology, primate activity, to issue a smile means to show that you don't have canines. When a canine... you know, sharp-toothed creature bears its fangs. It's showing you, I'm dangerous. I have these big, long fangs. I could, you know, bite you. But when we smile, we're showing that we don't have fangs, and we want to create harmony. We want to create a connection with the person we're smiling at, even if it's in passing. And there's less and less and less of that because we are being clustered. We are being changed, and we are being disrupted biologically, and it doesn't feel good.
I don't want to disrupt your full conversation, but I do want to get out the call-in number, 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727, to speak to Sophia, Keith, and me about any of these issues or others, 608-957-8727. Sophia, please continue.
Well, I said it.
I got one more. I got something to add to that. You remember that that old 1950s movie about the pod people? You know, that were replacing the humans.
Invasion
that,
of the Body Snatcher.
Yeah.
They made it over.
Yeah. Well, it's like everyone says. Well, it's dad, but it's not dad. And a lot of people have commented here recently, even over on Jeff Rince's show there. That the fact that a lot of people that it seems like that have been vaccinated are like they don't have the spiritual will or something like that, or a connection with people anymore. It's just like they're just so disconnected. They've turned society off, and then it's only when you encroach upon their little realm that they become instant Karens, you know.
Instant what?
Karen. You've seen those videos where like a cop pulls a woman over and she jumps out of the car and she says, "Stop hitting me." He hadn't even touched her.
Yeah.
You know, you've invaded their realm, you know.
Well, these shots and other assaults all together are mixed together, are creating a parallel biology in us. So we are being transformed from the inside out. We are not Homo sapiens anymore. We are not, because we have other forms, other organisms now that have been integrated into our own biology that are not of the eukaryotic domain. In fact, I could go into this in another show, but you know, the mitochondria in our cells are not human. They are derived from ancient bacteria. And so in that regard, we have enlisted a big force, an alternate domain to come into us and to perform a lot of activities in us, one of it, which is to create the adenosine triphosphate necessary for cellular energy. But there is yet another, a very synthetic life form that has been brought into our bodies by way of the COVID shots and the aerosol programs. And this is what Mr. Kennedy needs to know about if he's going to do anything to really help us, because it's from that level that changes are being performed on and in us.
I believe Kennedy knows. But every time he speaks up, like when he mentioned that ACE2 receptor stuff, and he was instantly called anti-Semitic for it. Well, anyone can read that online, you know, that Ashkenazi Jews are not the binding of this COVID stuff and SARS and all that is different with the Ashkenazi and also the Chinese and stuff, but and also these Amish Hutterite type things. But anyway, but yeah, as Jim was saying earlier, I remember when I was a young kid, I was talking to my best friend down there in Las Vegas. We were sitting there having a hamburger, and when I was talking to him, his eyes welled up and his bottom chin started quivering like that. And I realized that I touched a nerve on something I had said, you know. And we don't have that today when you look through a cell phone. You can't tell the emotions and stuff of people you're talking to. There's photos of people sitting at a restaurant, say a pizza joint. There's 20-some family members sitting there, and every single one of them are on a cell phone. There's no communication whatsoever between them all.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's the way the control is being rolled out. We each respond to our phones and not to each other.
Or on video games for hours. Yeah, video games for hours. Yeah, death, death, death. And you wonder why they have so many shootings and stuff.
So it looks like we don't have callers because maybe we're not live. Can you comment, Jim?
I think we are, but it happens when callers are interested in the conversation and want to hear more. So I just say, lay on, McDuff. Give us more, Sophia, of your great stuff. Tell us more about your newsletter, your products, and the whole bit.
Well, yes, my newsletter is something I create. It's sort of an organization of my thoughts. It's supposed to be monthly, but I've been doing longer ones that are 2 months. And then that creates the basis of interviews and radio shows. And I incorporate a lot of what I read. People say, oh, you start in one place and then you end up in a completely different place. But people apparently appreciate that linking of thoughts and that dot connecting. And I wanted just to say, yeah, I'll get into the avocado thing. So did you know that nobody ate avocados, Jim? Hardly anyone, except regionally. And these are, they're actually a berry.
Sophia, miracle of miracles, we do have a caller from the 512 area code. Join the conversation, caller. Oh,
there go the avocados.
Go ahead, caller.
Jim, this is
Frank. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's 518 anyway. Hey, Jim, this is a great show. I'll tell you, I'm a firm believer in supplementing. I mean, as your guest was describing, Sophie was saying, you know, and we're under attack from all kinds of areas. You know, they got the G5. You know, they got these towers all over. You know, people can go on to a website. I think it's antennasearch.com, and if you punch in your address, they'll show you the towers and the antennas they have in your area. And I'm very fortunate. I'm kind of like in a little space where there's a lot around me, but I'm not really directly close to one. And, you know, I've been a supplement freak for years. When I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of money, but my mother always got us vitamins. And it's kind of funny, about, well, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I got busted for selling pot here in New York, okay? And I had to go away. And when I was incarcerated, after about a month or month and a half, I could start feeling my knuckles. You know, I didn't have the dexterity in my fingers. Okay, and my first commissary came, and I loaded up on vitamins. You know what I mean? I started pounding down the vitamins as I was accustomed to, and it came back. And I think that's a problem with people. People don't, you know, I think I hear a lot of people go, oh, vitamins, they don't do anything for you. They don't. I'm a firm believer they do. I'm 81. I don't take any pharmaceutical drugs, knock on wood. I thank the good Lord. And, you know, people have to supplement, in my opinion. And, you know, iodine is one of the greatest things that you can put into your system, you know, and, you know, people don't get enough of that. And you remember years ago, they used to have it in the salt. You know what I mean? I think they brought it back to some degree. But I think they was proven that when they put that in the first time around, the IQs in people started to increase. And then when they took them out, along with adding the fluoride to the water, you can see the IQs going down. I mean, we've got a local councilman here who was promoting. He says, oh, we got to get these crazy people who are anti-fluoride. You know, we can't listen to them. And fortunately, I think the federal government just come out in the last few days, if I'm not mistaken, saying that, yes, you know, Harvard had a couple of studies on this. And they said, you know, it does reduce the IQs in kids. And yeah, you know what I mean?
There's a video on it, too.
Is that right? You know, you know. Okay, Keith, I love you, brother. I love you, okay? I love it when you're on with Jim and Sophie. It's an added, I'll tell you, a bonus today. And I'm glad you brought up that stuff because we are under attack, and people don't realize. You know, the forces that be, they want to get the population down to about a half a billion people. You know what I mean? And they know they got to eliminate people. You know, the vaccine was one way, wars are another. And I think, you know, I don't know about you, Jim, or Keith or Sophia, but, you know, if we keep I don't know if we're sending troops over to Ukraine right now or not, but, I mean, we're getting close, you know, and we're Putin, you know, he's trying to, you know, he's doing restricted, you know, but I think the military over there are saying, hey, we got to, you know, unleash on these people. Look what they're doing.
Yeah,
I have a report, Frank, of a National Guard member in Idaho who has orders to report for duty in Ukraine in mid-September. He's got the orders in his hand. So all this talk about not putting U.S. troops in there. And, of course, the Russian ambassador is now worried that America, the U.S., is going to authorize the use of long-range missiles hitting Russia. When that happens, believe me, the shit will hit the fan. That's a threat to the Russian state, and they have a nuclear doctrine that when that occurs, they are allowed to retaliate with full force.
Yeah, Jim, I got banned from Twitter for another 4 days or 5 days, something like that. But they said it was for hate, but I don't think that's what it was. I had posted a video from Ukraine of four or five U.S. soldiers in Ukraine in Kursk. They were first seen holding up the U.S. flag, but then they were under a massive drone attack. And the one U.S. soldier was talking about how we've taken casualties and stuff. Anyway, I think that's what it was, is because I had alerted people to the fact that, yes, there were U.S. soldiers there. Yeah. On the ground there, and Doug McGregor had made a comment on it, the fact that they're in there. The problem is, though, is they won't be coming out because Russia, since they're in U.S. uniforms now, they'll be treated for counted as espionage like that. And
they can be shot.
He says he does not think that there'll be any prisoner exchange. He says, with what the United States has been doing by proxy to Russia like that, they'll be killed.
Yeah. And in accordance with international law.
That's right. And
I think any. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This morning there was an Aussie guy that had been laying there, they assumed, for at least 30 days in the field there, 23-year-old kid. Again, you have guys from Haiti, cartel members. If the DEA can't catch these cartel members here in America and stuff, how are these guys getting permits and stuff to be able to travel to Ukraine to become mercenaries? Don't people ever ask this stuff? And the cartel members, you see those cartel members over there, Sinaloa drug cartel. They even got their little emblems for the cartel on their damn uniforms, you know, to identify them. I mean, that I thought, yeah. Well, maybe that's how Zelensky's getting his cocaine refurbished.
Frank, go ahead, Frank.
I mean, Zelensky, how many mansions does this guy own? I mean, he's over here, he's got the tin cup all the time. You know what I mean? I know he just bought one recently of a king, if I'm not mistaken, which cost, millions and millions of euros or whatever he was in over there. I mean, this guy's a disgrace. You know, I think his ethnicity is what keeps him around there, you know, seriously, you know. They called him, you know, he's the new Winston Churchill and this and that. You know, I tell people... You know, before this war started. Oh, yeah, but that's what they were referring to him as in some outlets, you know, obviously the mainstream outlets, none of ours, you know what I mean? But this guy, before this invasion, as they call it, you know what I mean, which I think we all feel is justified, before this invasion took place, he had a rating of 25%. He was bombing, he was killing the Russian people in part of Ukraine. He was knocking them off. You know, the child trafficking going on, the human, whatchamajig, the...
Frank, he was an actor. They sold him. Remember, he ran around dancing around playing the piano with his
penis. Yeah, his member, whatever.
That's what it is. They're all actors, you know, and they're either that or they're sexually compromised in some way to have a position like that.
You know, it's funny, Keith, you just said that, and I think about Ronald Reagan. I think about we got Trump right now, you know what I mean, and Zelensky over there, you know, those actors, you know, they get popular, and people like them, and, you know, I think some people say, hey, you know, jump on board. I think, you know, if people who have, you know, fame already get involved in politics, it's just a bonus, you know what I mean? It can help them out. It can't hurt, where if you get some unknown person who might have good ideas and, you know, be a stellar advocate for freedom and things that we like, but it might not go anywhere because they don't have that, you know, initial burst of popularity, which some of these people do get, obviously, you know.
Yeah, but that's our problem, Frank, I was going to say, everyone lionizes everyone. Like when they thought of John McCain and those guys as heroes and stuff. Do you realize that everywhere that John McCain and Lindsey Graham have gone, that at least 600,000 people have died?
I didn't know that, but I know they called him Songbird McCain. You know, a lot of people aren't aware of that. You know, when Trump came out and he said he wasn't a hero, and Trump said anybody who gets caught wasn't a hero or something, they went after Trump for that. Trump should have brought it up and said, look what this guy did. He's a sellout. You know, he dumped his first wife when she got in an accident and her face was disfigured. And he married into the Anheuser-Busch family there. I guess his current wife or his, you know, his wife that's still around. You know, I think her father owned a distributorship from Anheuser-Busch out in Arizona. And she got, she had a lot of money. And I think she subsidized his, campaign. And, then he's all of a sudden, he's this war hero. You know, the people who were on board with him said, you know, that's not the way it really was. Of course, the media has so much influence in this country, and they can lead people one way or the other. It's disgusting. And unfortunately, they're not on our side. You know, they're the guys pushing for, you know, the reduction of the people in the world, you know, Bill Gates, oh, he's the genius. He's this and he's that. You know what I mean? You know, I had a friend of mine today. He said, oh, JC, we got a little Justice Fauci's, hospitalized. I said, you know, do we know that? Or is they just setting up something else? You know, yeah. I don't know what he's got, but I think they were setting up the bird flu, if I'm not mistaken. You know,
well, I've got that video from 2015 from Malaysia where they openly talked about the New World Order's plans were to eliminate 3 billion people or more. However, Sophie, I want to hear your avocado story.
Hang on. No. I want to add to Frank here about the monkeypox. The Pope has just declared that monkeypox is a worldwide health emergency. The day before, I had an article, there is no scientific evidence of the existence of monkeypox. So juxtapose two. Here you got the spokesman of, you know, on theological matters, the Pope represents God's word, telling us about a worldwide pandemic involving monkeypox when there's an admission from, this was from the FDA, that there is no scientific evidence that there is such a thing as monkeypox. I mean, how about that? Frank,
well,
first,
AstraZeneca.
Keith, go ahead. Okay, go ahead, Keith first.
Yeah, AstraZeneca, they just pulled their so-called vaccine out the market. They just showed a vial there where it's made from the green monkey. So, again, this is where they keep inserting all this stuff. Remember, at the same time that they're pushing this LGBT agenda, that the first thing they do is they target, because sex is a political tool, is they target those with the compromised immune systems who run down and instantly get another vaccine, which lowers the immune system even more.
Yes. Frank, go ahead, Ned, and then Sophia. We're coming toward the end.
Look, I'll yield to Sophia. Let's hear her say something. I've been blabbing my mouth here
Frank,
long.
I'm glad you called in, and it was reassuring that we're actually broadcasting live. I was glad when the phone rang. Sophia, go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of people aren't aware that you're over on Studio A, Jim, okay? I believe.
I think if you click on Studio B, though, you'll hear it on, you know, even though I'm on A. I think you get it anyway. But go ahead.
No, you don't. I've been on there. I went on Studio A first. Okay. Or Studio B first. You know, it says, whatchamajigbee, network problem
server,
or something like that.
Server error, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you found us, Frank. I'm glad you found us.
Well, I heard you last week, Jim, too, on Studio A. I'm glad they brought you on, because sometimes they got Alex Jones on there. You know what I mean? While you were on, they would simulcast Alex Jones or somebody else on that other channel. You know, I'm glad they brought you over there.
Yeah, I mean, you're part of the family there. I'm going
to
see if Monday, Wednesday, they can put me on Studio A, since I gather they got open slot Monday, Wednesday, meaning simulcast on B and A, and then Friday only B once we get the server back. Sophia, go for it.
I don't have time to go into avocados, unfortunately.
Oh.
So you got hijacked there. So it's all right. I've said my piece for the day, and I appreciate people listening. I'm surprised Paul Hilf didn't call.
Well, Sophie, give us your website again.
Sophia with an F, sophiasmallstorm.com, and the store is Avatar, like the movie, AVATAR, avatarproducts.com. There's a lot of stuff on there that's very important. I have flyers that I've written, but I also have things that I sell. I call this bioremediation. You know, I used to be a DVD store, DVD t-shirts, books back in the day, Jim, and I truly thought that as long as you had information, you could survive. But then the high definition YouTube came in and people got, you know, the DVD player was obliterated by streaming. And so I put one bottle of iodine in my store, and it was such as it stood out like a sore thumb, you know, and I've become a bioremediation store. That was the change. That was what started the whole change. And so now I sell all kinds of things. I've gotten into grounding. I do electrical remediation of homes. I have a lot of grounding products, probably a really good selection, better materials, I think, than almost anyone else out there that I've spent years researching and developing even. So that I have a hood for your head that actually takes you into 5G protection. I have a router cover, so if you don't want to hardwire your computer, you can put this router shield over your router, and it diminishes the signal 30 to 80%. You'll still get to use your devices, but you will not be sitting in red, cancerous radiation emissions.
Yeah, mine actually has a power output adjuster.
Yeah, they have those too.
That's all great stuff, Sophie. I'm delighted to hear all this. Continue. Tell us just a little more here as we tie up our loose ends.
Well, all right. So I wanted to tell the caller from New York. Now, I don't want to upset you, but I want you to go and look up Agent 131711. And his site is chemtrails.substack.com. And I want you to prepare yourself and read what he has to say about vitamins. He has tons of posts on vitamins. And then I want you to come back to Jim Fetzer's show and tell us what you think of what he has written. Okay? Agent 131711. You don't have to remember that.
Okay, let me write that down, okay? Agent, this is the website?
No, this is the name he goes by. Agent.
Oh, okay, what's his website?
chemtrails.substack.com.
Chemtrail.com.
Substack. Chemtrail.substack.com.
Okay.
There's a.
Now, is he anti? What's your website, by the way, Sophia?
SophiaSmallStorm.com, but you have to spell my name with an F, not a PH.
Okay, S-O-F-I-A.
And my store is Avatar, A-V-A-T-A-R, AvatarProducts.com. You know, okay. I never get to talk about my stuff on Jim's shows, so it's nice. It's nice to be able to do that.
Well, I went in and I'm sorry.
Okay, I sell magnesium cream. I work with different chemists, and one of them has formulated an absolutely amazing magnesium cream. And then I asked him to make me a magnesium gel and a magnesium spray. Well, actually, we call that an oil now. But magnesium put through the skin really, really relaxes muscles.
You're a fast for it now.
Pain away very fast. So this cream is my best seller, this and iodine. So magnesium cream is on the Sun and Skin page. It's on the health page also of avatarproducts.com.
And I'm on your website. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
I'm on your website right now, Avatar Products. I'm going to buy something, that's for sure. Yeah. I'll have to
Sophia,
see what I need. You know, go ahead, Keith. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sophia, have you read the download and read the PDF called Weather is a Force Multiplier?
Oh, yeah, years and years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all based on Event 201. It's the same simulation they use for COVID like that, but it's how they control the weather. And right. NOAA's got a page on there about how they use the weather also, but they're controlling it through radar. The particles in these chemtrails, you know.
The chemtrails is about way more than the weather, and I'm going to insist that Jim allow me to do a show on this, and then if you would like to come on and be a commenter as well, it would be great. So on my store website, I just want you to know that people who buy from me, I always give something else for free. It might just be a bumper sticker. I have a beautiful bumper sticker that says, think while it's still legal. But it could be a sample of something else. And I have another bumper sticker. Okay, so I'm going to tell you. Yes.
How about a week? How about next Monday? I'll book you right now to do exactly what you described. Keith will be here with us.
All right, we'll do that. Okay, so my other bumper sticker that I sometimes give away is, this is a free country and you have the right to be uninformed.
Frank, I'm delighted you called in, and do you have a final thought you'd like to add here?
Yeah, I'll be quick here, Jim. Back in 1994, I sent John Miller a stat. I had a little camera, okay, and I got some pictures of some chemtrails, and I sent it to him, and he was talking about it over the airwaves, you know. So they've been spreading that stuff on us for decades and decades, you know what I mean? And we're under attack, as Sophia says. And I'm at her website now, and I'm going to browse through here, and I'm sure I'll grab an item or two, and hopefully she'll keep up the good work, and as you and Keith will also.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted you called in, Frank. Keith, a final word here. We're not hearing the break, but it's coming up.
I hear it. We're all in right. There. Take care, Jim.
Well, Keith, Frank, thanks.
Thanks, Sophia. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland